Now, I hope the rest of you weren't just here for the humor, but following the thoughts there. Now, I would like to ask you all, what are the four main points or questions that people answer when they give their testimony in a service like this? I came up with four main things. You all want to help me out? When you give your testimony, what are kind of the four standard Mennonite things to say? Okay, peace with God, number one. Second one?
Fellow man.
Okay, peace with fellow man. Got two? Next two? I guess maybe some of you haven't had the opportunity to stand in the council room and have this hear this as often as I have, so that's okay. Let's see if you can get it. We can always call action or any Jason has heard it a few times in the house, you might get it too. Okay. Confess your sin. I guess I was kind of including that in peace with God because I'm not a priest, but I appreciate that. Thanks. There was two more that are kind of fairly standard things that I hear people say. I mean, yeah. Okay, the desire to partake in communion. And there's one more.
Thankfulness for the church.
Yeah, thankfulness for the church and desire to be open to the brotherhood. Or, you know, it's worded different, but that kind of thought. So thank you all for being brave enough to help me there. And as I thought about that, what really constitutes peace with God? What really constitutes peace with other people? And I'm not necessarily, some of the points I have will indirectly or indirectly relate to openness and support of the church brotherhood and a desire to partake in communion, but I'm primarily focusing on peace with God and peace with our fellow men. In this process, and I see this in myself, and I also have seen it in others, so often we either become callous to this process, and we come into the room if we do it that way, or we say it as we stand up in the auditorium, and we just rattle off this standard thing that we've said the last 10, 15, 20, 100 years almost. It's really nothing to it. We're saying what's expected of us. Or the other problem I see, and I've seen some people have probably this to a greater extent, and Jason touched on it, is we let this process just load us down with doubts and fears and depression and everything because we're trying to scramble around in our life and see if everything's perfect. And of course, whenever I check out Joe's heart, I find a lot of imperfections. And I've got a feeling that probably most of you do. At the same time, I fail to remember that the perfection that I'm looking for is not necessarily a perfection of my flesh or of my own heart, but a perfection of being broken and giving myself to God. So the title I have this morning is, What Does God Require? And I don't mean that in a scary way, but what does God require? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, God tells us seven things that he hates. Could you all tell me what those are without looking?
Proud
look. Okay.
A long time.
If you go too fast, I won't be able to keep up. Oh, this marker ain't the greatest. Let me see if there's another one here. I'll shorten some of these for writing, but you are correct in what you're saying. We'll just call it pride. I'm sorry, Nathan, what was the other one?
A lying tongue.
Okay, I'm going to call that deceit. Third. Okay, hang on a second here. Okay, shedding innocent blood, what's one word for that?
Murder.
Thank you. Now, if I were to have you turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, it classifies this attitude or this spirit a bit harder than the Old Testament did. Can anybody tell me what the word used there would be? Hate. And hate grows out of bitterness. So we have hate / bitterness. All really the same thing. Okay, four. Okay. The word the Bible uses is wicked imaginations, a heart full of wicked imaginations. So we'll just call that, that's a long phrase. Well. Okay, fifth one.
False witness in there.
Okay. Yeah, false witness is number six. You can give seven if you have that one.
Feet that are swift in running to mischief.
Yep. Feet swift to running, feet that run to mischief. Sower of discord. Thank you. Why don't we just turn to that? Proverbs chapter 16. I warned my wife that I was going to have probably a strange or weird message for this kind of thing, but I did want to start out with this. While you're finding that, I want to ask you a couple questions. If we have peace with God, may I love or allow that which he hates? If I have peace with man, can that be achieved by living for self? So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And if we were to put abomination unto him in different words, we would say a horrible thing to the heart of God. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So again, we have pride. We have pride. And the essence of pride is an improper view or value of myself. In other words, when somebody goes strutting around thinking they're really something, we have no problem classifying that as pride. At the same time, if I'm around and I am on a, let's say at least a regular basis, fishing for compliments, downing myself in hopes that others lift me up, that is also a heart of pride. It's a wrong value system in my heart that comes back to how I think about myself. An improper view and value of self. Deceit or lying. The lying tongue speaks of an intent to deceive. And I want to be clear here this morning. We are not talking about you relating an experience or giving somebody some information that later you find out was not 100% correct. And you in good faith tried to honestly tell the story, tried to honestly relate the information, but you find out you were a little inaccurate. And I see some people that let this thing of a lying tongue kind of freak them out. And that's not what God wants. But he is very concerned. If I am here deliberately trying to deceive you, deliberately sharing false information that I know is wrong in an effort to give a different impression, that's deceit. Okay, hands that shed innocent blood, murder. And like we said already, the equivalent of that under the New Testament is hate, to hate my brother. To allow that root of bitterness to take hold in my heart that I despise them. I wish something bad would happen to them. I can't really be happy when they have a good day. Number four is a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. So this is a heart that is full of, we could say, lust. We could say murder. We could say the different things that we often appear in a heart. But I also like to suggest to you this morning that one of the wicked imaginations that the devil often slips into a heart is a heart of fear. A heart that's not willing to trust and rest after I've confessed to God. The fifth one. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. An interest and a desire and a hunger for wrong, for wickedness. Is it maybe starting out with just reading unnecessary news stories to being involved and running to the point of bad, of assisting in something wrong. Number six, a false witness. This is putting others in a bad light. It involves lying. It involves letting the wrong impression. It involves painting others negatively. Negativity. Number seven, a sower of discord. Now this is somebody that goes around. And maybe they'll even do it, say, hey, I'd like to ask you to pray for so-and-so. Did you hear what they're involved in? Did you hear their problem? A sower of discord, a sharer of gossip, a planter of doubts. You know that brother or that sister? You know what I saw him do? Do you know where I saw her come out of? Do you know what she had on? Sower of discord. You know, if God hates these seven things, can we by inversion, that means reversing, find the seven things he loves and desires for those who seek him? I think we can. So let's see what we come up with if we do the opposite. Make this another list here. Somebody help me. What do you say is the opposite of pride? I may not disagree. I mean, I may disagree or I may agree, but you go ahead and tell me what you think. What is the opposite of pride? I'm expecting a certain word. I see if I get it or not. Okay, that's exactly what I expected to come. And humility is, in a way, but it actually starts further than that. And I have down respect for God. Some would call it the fear of God, which leads to humility. When I see God as he is, I can't do anything but be humble. So you're right and you're wrong, Daniel. I don't know how you want to take that. In other words, I see too many people, I think I shared this before, that they try to be humble. Finally, you cannot be humble on your own thing. It's getting a different perspective of yourself that brings humility. As long as I'm focusing on myself, I'll either become so discouraged, there's really no humility in discouragement, or I'll become proud, and neither is there humility in pride. It's a looking at God, a fear of God, a perspective of God that puts me in proper perspective. Okay, number two. What's the opposite of deceit or lying? Thank you. That one's straightforward, isn't it? Truth. Okay, what would you say is the opposite of murder, hate, and bitterness?
Love.
Thank you. Love, and I'm going to tack on mercy there as well, which is kind of an execution of love. Okay, number four, what is the opposite of wicked imaginations? Okay, loving things that are pure. Very good. Thank you. I have it wrote out that a broken and contrite heart, which is a... No, actually, yeah, I'm not sure if you read that verse, but a broken and contrite heart leads us to the place where God can put his goodness in us. I want you to understand, it's not that I'm doing this perfect. This is just the way I have it wrote out. Okay, number five. Feet that are swift to run to mischief. What's the opposite of that? Couple ways you could say that as well. So take a chance. Some of you have been very quiet. Come on. Okay. I have two ways of it here. I thought of obedience or walking in God's way could both be ways of putting that. If you're running to mischief, you're not taking much time to consider what God wants, which is obedience. Or walking in God's ways, definitely obedience as well. Okay, number six, we have a false witness. What's the opposite of that?
Honesty.
So in a way, we could go back to truth. Maybe we're more specifically thinking about the things we say about others. So honesty is part of it. Does anybody want to take that further?
Edifying.
So the phrase I have is do justly, which would include honesty and edifying. Do justly. Okay, now we're at the last one, which is a sower of discord. What's the opposite of that?
Okay,
unity, definitely. So now we're talking about an action where I come to brother so-and-so and talk about so-and-so. That's sowing discord, okay? So what's the opposite action? Thank you. To make peace. To make peace. Okay. I'd just like to read Romans chapter 14, verse 17 through 19. Listen closely. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not about what I eat. It's not about what I drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Oh, I didn't really let myself, but I call these the seven negatives. And over here we have the seven positives. So we have seven negative tests of what really peace with God consists of, peace with our fellow man. Here we have seven positive tests for what peace with God and peace with our fellow man consists of. The seven negative and the seven positive. If I have peace with God, will I not love what God loves? Will I not seek that which he desires for me to be? If I have peace with man, isn't it because of God's love in me, in my heart, flowing out to others? So I want to try to avoid any mental gymnastics. I tried to get verses that are straightforward. Unfortunately, I do not have one reference that has all seven just clearly spelled out. So we're going to start in a verse I used a few weeks ago, Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Has two, at least two, that are clear. You may be able to get more out of this depending how you interpret it. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. So I found 1 and 5 clearly in there. Fear, a respect of God, and awe of him, which leads me to walk in humility. And 5, obedience, walking God's way. What doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, respect, to walk in his ways, obedience, to love him, respect and awe, to serve him, obedience combined with that respect and awe, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, and how precious, for thy good. Okay, let's go to Psalm 51. Jason introduced us to at least one of these verses already. Two, actually. Psalm 51, verse 6 is the first one I want to read. Psalm 51, verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God, what God really wants from you this morning, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So we have one here, which is an awe, a reverence of God, which leads me to live in humility. We have two. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. I have to be honest. I'm not trying to hide things. I'm not trying to pull the blanket over some things real quick. Makes me think of a game warden story I had where these fellows had shot ducks out of season and they were baking them for supper, and as soon as they heard him knocking on the door, they're trying to throw a coat over the ducks. No, that's covering up. That's hiding. Truth does not hide. And I'll maybe get a little deeper on what truth does do. Then number 4 as well is in here, a broken and a contrite heart. Just giving up what I want. Being willing to say, God, I'm yours for whatever purpose, whatever plan you have for me. The next one I have is Micah, chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Again, some verses I read not so distant past. Micah, chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Verse 6, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. There we have one again. To walk humbly with thy God. We have three. Love mercy. To love mercy. Number six we have there as well, which is to do justly. And I'll expand a bit more on those. Then for seven, I found that in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. I can just read that for you. You're welcome to turn to it. Why don't you turn to Matthew 5? Well, and I'll just read. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20 says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but the counselors of peace is joy. But to the counselors of peace, those that go and help, those that bring people to peace, to rest, there's joy in that. Now, did you notice something unique about all those verses? Even though I'm talking to people that live in the New Testament time, all those verses were in the Old Testament. So do you see how God's plan, really back then, was the same as it was today, even though he changed some of the focus and emphasis? And just to emphasize number seven, being a peacemaker, I'll just read Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Okay, now I want to go back up over this list and talk about each one of the seven positives. Respect and awe that leads to humility. You know, a broken spirit really equals walking in humility. Like I told you, pride in its essence is a focus on myself, how I feel, what I want, what my dreams, my plans, all about me. Whether I feel good or bad about myself, it's pride. To yield my will, to have a broken spirit, to see God in a reverential awe and respect. The proper fear of God gives me a right perspective of myself that brings, or shall I say, equals humility. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And I'll be honest, I don't know about you, but I think this is one that I have to tell you that I struggle with. Sometimes I feel good about myself. The next time I feel down about myself. And just to have the view that God has of myself seems to be one of the harder struggles for me to be consistent in. The second one, truth, openness and honesty. Remember I told you it's not seeking to hide or cover, not throwing a coat over the ducks. This does not mean that I tell the world and everybody I meet everything I know. I want to be clear on that, because that's a contortion of what God actually wants. It does mean that there is nothing hidden in my life that is not revealed and confessed and cleared up with God. There is nothing that is unconfessed to those whom it has wronged. There is nothing hidden. If a brother or sister comes to me and asks me a question, I'm glad to be open and honest about all I know. There's nothing in a dark corner, uncared for, hidden, unconfessed. Third one is to love mercy. Love mercy. Look at the opposite side there on three. It's to murder, hate, bitterness. You know, we don't have a big problem seeing murder is wrong. And I find very few people that tell me that they hate other people. But I find many, many people who would tell me they struggle with bitterness. Now just look at that. Love mercy. You know, this is as far as, like the Bible says about removing our sins, as the east is from the west. Love mercy. This goes far beyond not merely having a negative attitude or thought pattern about a brother or sister or a friend or neighbor. Even when in all human legitimacy, they deserve judgment, if I am really love and mercy, I will offer love and mercy to them, even though I have every reason not to. Number four, a broken and contrite heart. Now you think I might be splitting hairs. The other one was a broken spirit, which is yieldness to God. In a broken heart, what I'm thinking of here is bringing 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says it this way. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. A broken and a contrite heart and mind is willing and ready and desiring to give every thought to the obedience of Christ. When that question, that imagination, that evil thought, that questioning thought comes about of a brother or sister, I'm willing to just throw it away. Casting down imaginations. That comes out of a broken and contrite heart and mind. Number 5, to walk in God's way. The Apostle Paul likened this to being a runner in a race. And we know if you're running a race to win, you're not carrying extra baggage with you. Just so, you cannot successfully live the Christian life if you've got a lot of baggage with you. It won't work. You have to lay aside, take off, get rid of anything that would hinder your obedience to God. To daily have that relationship with God that helps me love what He loves and hate what He hates. To walk in God's way. Number 6, to do justly. Again, this is so much, much more than the opposite of bearing false witness. To do justly is not merely not being a false witness. To do justly is being one who follows the golden rule in everything you say, in all my actions, in all my words, and even in all my thoughts. When others fail, when they falter, when they fall and crash, I am there to pick them up, to dust them off, and help them on their way. After all, haven't I failed? Haven't I faltered? Haven't I fallen? To do justly. Number 7, to make peace. Again, this is ever so much more than not sowing discord. It means I will put forth diligent effort and perseverance in promoting peaceful relationships in all areas among all people that I'm involved with. It means I will do all in my power to bring about reconciliation and restore severed relationships. So as you ask God to help you see yourself the way He sees you, what do you see? 7 negatives or 7 positives? Is God working in your heart? Can you truly say, I have peace with God based on His work in my heart and life? I have peace with man because I try to follow God's way. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 through 11, if you'd allow me just to read that for you. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for